This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Honestly say that they truly knew Otto.
Otto Bloom was an enigma wrapped in a riddle, hidden behind a giant question mark.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a more divisive figure in recent history.
Half the world thought he was a saviour, and the other half thought he was a sham.
He was funny, sexy, fiercely intelligent.
Otto was incredibly frustrating at times.
When I tried to imagine what the world must have looked like through his eyes. That's just impossible.
Hi, I'm Xavier Samuel. That film was sort of like peering into a grotesque doll's house or something, you know, it was really violent, but it had a sense of humour about it as well, I think.
Queen of the dance is Lola Stone!
There he is.
Love is like a flame, burns you.
It boils your brains and turns you into one of them.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of publicity for Love and Friendship, which is Jane Austen film.
Right, so. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's doing really well. The Whit
Stillman.
Stillman.
Yeah.
I always get him confused with the American poet's name.
Walt Whitman. I know.
It's
funny, isn't it?
Yeah, cool.
Seems Lady Susan will finally visit.
Lady Susan Vernon.
That woman's a fiend.
Congratulations on being about to receive the most accomplished flirt in all England.
Excuse me for arriving this way. What a delightful family pose.
May I present Lady Susan?
Delighted to make your acquaintance.
He's handsome, isn't he? In a calf-like way.
Right, I'll just get started. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And in the studio, very happy and delighted to have someone really special. It's Xavier Samuel. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's a bit of an early morning here in Joy. Lovely Melbourne weather. But you'd be used to the erratic Melbourne weather, I guess.
Certainly.
The Death and Life of Otto Bloom. This film is, part of the Premier Fund. It's described as a romance time travel head trip. There you go. Mm. What would you describe it as, Xavier? And also, what's your character in this film?
Well, it's essentially a love story, but it's about a man who's experiencing time in reverse. So the past is sort of unknown to him. And it is a bit of a head trip.
Mm. Cool. It's Chris Jones. I think it's his biggest film yet, I believe.
Yeah.
He's done some short films as well. Excursion back in 2003 and The Funk. Are you a fan of the sort of sci-fi, time travelling?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's Chris has got a very unique sensibility. His films are really original and kind of wacky and out there. So it's kind of fun territory to explore.
Mm. Something a bit different for you. You haven't really done sci-fi. Of course, most people know you. Obviously, Twilight, Eclipse, mm-hmm. 2010. That was pretty big for you, thinking back.
Yeah, I mean, a kind of crazy whirlwind to be kind of roped into.
I told you how it works.
The Cullens have powers.
Don't underestimate them, Riley. You'll have the numbers, but they'll be able to anticipate your every move.
According to your friend?
Yes. My dead friend.
So what was it like playing a vampire? You get that all the time.
I mean, I don't know. There's not a real frame of reference, isn't there? It's not like you can catch up with a few vampires and learn about the character.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of our listeners too, one of the more remarkable films, I guess, that's come out of Australia, The Loved Ones, are Sean Byrne. That was a pretty popular.
Yeah, it came from his sort of wacky mind too. I'm working with all these wacky directors. But yeah, that film was sort of like peering into a grotesque doll's house or something. You know, it was really violent, but it had a sense of humour about it as well, I think.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen anybody do Brent, the character you play, as a cosplay?
I haven't, actually. I haven't had
it. It'd be dangerous.
I should head along and see if there's anyone out there.
I was at a film festival last year, a girls' film fest called GOFF, Girls on Film Festival, and a feminist film festival here in Melbourne, and that was the highlight film.
Oh, there you go.
And people were leaving. People were walking out feeling violated almost, but I think that's a good sign in a way, because it's obviously got the impact.
Yeah, it's a fine line, isn't it? You know, you don't obviously don't want to be a part of putting something into the world that is sensationalism or perpetuating something that's not helpful, I suppose. But it's a fun film, and it's it's a horror film. I think there's
exactly
a place for that, I suppose.
Princess, she's gorgeous, and what's his name, Brumpton, pretty spooky.
Yeah.
I bet.
Totally.
Now, the other thing was I spoke to. It's Wednesday today, isn't it? No, it's Thursday today. Monday, I spoke to Sean Byrne himself because his new film, Devil's Candy, is going to be playing at MIFF too, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's great. Hopefully,
you heard much about it.
Well, Simon Chapman, who shot Loved Ones, also shot that film as well.
Oh,
so
cool.
I had a chance to catch up with him. He said he had a really great time working on it. I think they were shooting in Austin or somewhere in Texas.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I think there's a police officer or someone, or realist, that's some character in there with a Stetson hat, and you sort of get that feeling.
Mm.
It's a bit of an interesting place. But, yeah, it's very heavy metal. He loves his metal.
Yeah, and that was a big part of The Loved Ones too. Mm. It's, yeah, I guess he kind of finds some sort of inspiration in...
It's been 6 years.
Yeah, it's
that's
been a
long
while.
Time.
Yeah. But I think, you know, Sean and Chris Jones as well, they both have such kind of strong convictions about telling their own stories.
Mm.
And so I'm sure there are wealth of offers and opportunities that come their way, but they sort of stick to their guns and really focused on telling their own stories. So
yeah.
I think that must be a tough place to live, but it's certainly admirable.
Yeah, I think it's a passionate thing, and it's an Australian thing. Maybe there's not the pressure as much to succeed in making a big splash, big blockbuster, but keeping
I suppose
true.
It depends what your priorities are too, doesn't it?
Exactly. So we spoke off air just quickly about the Whit Stillman film, doing the rounds for that.
Love and Friendship.
Yeah, now that is really getting a lot of great reviews and things.
Yeah, it's not exactly a sci-fi.
No, it's not. It could be time travel, I suppose.
Yeah, it takes you back.
It does.
Back in time. That was really, I think it's sort of an elegant comedy and it's good to see that people are responding to it.
Yeah, and wearing and looking like that. It's
Yeah,
I
don't have the curlers in my hair this morning. I thought about it.
People might not know what that's all about.
We can leave it ambiguous.
Yeah. So are you a fan of horror, speaking of genre films, horror films? Do you have any favourites?
I can't say it's my favourite genre, but I saw The Witch recently, which I thought was really, really cool film, like pretty classy film.
Pretty extraordinary, actually. Mm-hmm. I was like sitting back going, wow, okay, where is this going?
Yeah, yeah, it was haunting feeling.
17th century, watch out. It explains a lot of things, doesn't it, in America itself. Any science fiction? To do Otto Bloom, did you have to do a lot of research about time travel? Or
I think there's a certain, there's a threshold, isn't there, where logic can... it just goes out the window. So I think at one point I thought if this guy's experiencing time in reverse, then he would have heard English in reverse. So at one point I was like, well, maybe I should record all my lines backwards and learn them backwards.
Okay.
And Chris was like, I think we've reached the threshold there. Let's just defer to the simplicity of each moment.
Mm.
But yeah, it is a hard thing to wrap your head around, but it gives you an opportunity to work in a space that is totally new and unfamiliar. So there's a moment in the film where he, the love of his life is meeting him for the first time, and he's saying goodbye to her. So there are all these sort of really bizarre situations that turn up.
That's difficult.
Yeah, it was hard.
That would be hard. How do you do that? I mean, is it a bit like Benjamin Button, perhaps a little bit like Memento? Or
yeah, there's an element of that. Mm. I think, you know, he doesn't age in reverse. He ages normally. It's just that he's experienced the future, and so he kind of is an enigma and a phenomenon.
Mm. Did you see the Spierig Brothers film? They did a bit of the time travel one.
Oh, no, I'd like to check it out.
Yeah. Naturally, I've forgotten the name of it, which is really embarrassing, but...
Is it Predestination?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that looks really cool. No, I'm looking forward to
Sarah Snook.
Sarah Snook, yeah, and Ethan Hawke too.
That's right.
Yeah,
really timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly, as Doctor Who fans say.
Wibbly-wobbly.
Wibbly-wobbly. And coming up for you... can you tell us what sort of films you'll be involved in the future, or will you get back to theatre or anything like that?
Possibly, yeah. I did a play last year at Belvoir called The Dog, The Cat, which was like a double bill, and I was dressed in a cat suit.
Cool. like a furry, big furry.
Well, I wasn't exactly kind of tarred and feathered, but no, it was more of a onesie.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. There's a few things kicking around, Love and Friendship and The Death and Life of Otto Bloom, and another film called Spin Out, which is set at a BNS ball. It's kind of like a screwball romance. I just finished a six-part series for the ABC called Seven Types of Ambiguity, which is... that was a really, really good one to do.
Mm. So do you like working, you probably get this question a lot too, the difference between working here and working in the US, what would your favourite environments be?
It's sort of, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. I think I really enjoy the community that forms in and around Australian film, and that's certainly a difference that I've noticed, but it's, you know, you're still... pointing a camera at something or someone.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And it's becoming more international anyway. Getting people like big productions like Four being made in Queensland and New South Wales, and, you know, you've got a lot of overseas people coming to here anyway. It's much more global.
I think the climate's shifting a little bit. But I think one of the big differences, I think, on American films and certainly... you know, bigger budget films is just the time that you have to be able to explore and play around, and sometimes on Australian film, you know, a second take's a luxury, so you've got to be on your toes.
Right. Finances, of course, come yeah. into the play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Now, speaking of for Ragnarok, which has been made, if you could be a Marvel superhero, who would you be? Anything, if you know any of the superheroes.
That's a good question. I don't know. I saw the trailer for Doctor Strange. That looks pretty cool. He's a Marvel character.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, one of the older ones, actually.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they made it, to be honest, because it's so...
Yeah. I mean, they must
I think it was written in the 40s. I mean, it's probably almost as old as Superman.
Yeah.
Or, you know, which is DC. So I just stepped right into that. Get into so much trouble. Or would you rather be a villain? I mean, look at... Suicide Squad looks amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, villains have more fun.
They do have more fun, you know. And they get to subvert things and,
yeah.
and kind of...
And Heath Ledger's role was brilliant as the Joker.
Amazing performance, and I don't think there's been a performance like that for a long time or since, really.
You wouldn't want to be the Joker, or
You know,
you're not mean enough.
Tough shoes to fill. Yeah. I'd be interested to see Suicide Squad and Jared Leto's in that too.
Yeah, he's doing the Joker. It's a big step for him, and you know, people are already saying, oh, is it going to be like the Heath Ledger one? And it's like, it's going to be different. Get over it. It's going to be different.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
Can't take that away from Heath, of course. Cool. All right. I might wrap it up, but if you've got anything... Oh, question someone said to me. Can you please ask Xavier what it was like to work with Kristen Stewart?
Oh, she's awesome. She's really, you know, really cool person and very focused on you know, what she was doing in those films. But yeah, we had a great time. She's really, really cool.
I wonder if anybody thought... how big they would become. Did you have any idea that you'd get mugged and all, you know?
I wasn't there at the genesis of it, you know. I kind of came into an already established family and, you know, I knew that I'd seen it on the back of buses and stuff, but I don't think at the time that I arrived they were still cutting the second film, so...
Right, yeah.
But they were making the third one, so they knew there was a kind of momentum behind it, but, yeah, I don't think... you could ever really imagine the kind of the enthusiasm that came of all that.
Yeah, and seeing yourself on a bus,
yeah.
looking so pale, must have been odd.
Certainly was.
And certainly red-eyed, you know, a little bit red-eyed.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is it onion peel? It's like an onion, I believe it's made from white onions, the powdery substance they put on your skin.
I don't know what it was.
It's another question someone said. Can you ask?
They sort of spray it on in the morning.
Spray it on, yeah. Oh, right. Like a spray on untan.
Yeah.
The opposite.
Exactly.
Cool.
They should bottle it.
They should. Actually, they probably have. Someone probably has. But I guess you'd have to have a warning on it, but you might get staked by mistake.
Certainly, yeah. You'd need those sorts of warnings, I reckon.
Zombies or vampires? Who do you think has more fun?
Vampires get to stick around for a lot longer, don't they?
Usually, yeah. They don't decay. Well, they can, obviously, but...
obviously.
They're not as stinky, maybe.
Yeah.
Vampires, then. Cool.
Sure.
Great. Now, I wish you all the best of luck for The Death and Life of Otto Bloom. Let's hope it does take off.
Thank you.
It's always good to see a sci-fi film, and particularly one that's made through the Premier Fund... And for Myth, so that's pretty exciting. And to be the opening night. It's a gamble, but it's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to be watching it for the first
time.
Well,
that makes two of us.
Yeah, you know, 2,500 people at Hayne Hall. We'll be like, okay.
Well, maybe you can chat to people after the film, you know, then you'll know what it's about.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, congratulations on that. Now, before you go, I do this to everybody I grab, and that is I get them to do a station ID, if that's okay.
Sure.
Thank you. It's Squeam.
Squeam.
As in nausea. Yep.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Cool.
Is that right? 94.9?
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
No worries.
Oh, your name.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. You know, there was something we forgot.
My name's Xavier Samuel. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Perfect. You done radio before?
Did I have a radio voice then when I said those things?
That's good. Do it again.
Hi, I'm Xavier Samuel. I mean, maybe I've got to work on my radio voice. I don't know.
I love it. It's great. Thanks so much for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Thank
Cheers.
You.
Cheers.
Listening to Sci-Fi and Scream Undead, a podcast of Joy 94.9 with Sonya the Squeema and Clay Talks.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.